We talking rom-com, we talking action, we talking drama and movie classics. Whatever you want, yo, we have it, cause we talking movies on a podcast. So I married a film critic. So I married a film critic. So I married a film critic.
Hey honey, I just wanna talk about the movie like casually. You don't have to bring up the cinematography. Honestly, let's just talk about like how the characters were fun.
Married a film critic. So I married a film critic. So I married.
Welcome to So I Married a Film Critic. I'm your co-host, Julia.
And I'm Barry, the film critic. Hello, everyone.
So this is our final movie for Marty's movie month of May.
Yes. Love the alliteration.
Mm-hmm. And he decided that we should watch Extraordinary from 2019.
Why don't we see ghosts every day?
Ugh, leave me alone.
Most hauntings are so small, they go unnoticed.
Hi, this is Rose's driving school.
Maybe you could have a chat with my daughter, just to find out what's up with her.
My name is Martin.
Oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph! Martin, she's floating! She's floating, Martin!
I know.
What is evil?
Hey, dinner!
Coming, my sweet! I'm doing an incantation.
Now!
Hear me, powers of the night! The blood moon is nigh!
This bloody moon better make me bloody rich.
This is a satanic ritual.
Satanists!
I woke up in the morning.
To break the spell, we need ectoplasm. You just have to let the ghost inhabit your body.
Like in Ghostbusters.
Oh, I haven't read that.
The plot thickens.
Why does it have to be so unnecessarily gross?
Black magic!
Yes, this is a horror comedy that hails from Ireland, and Will Forte is the above-the-name star, but yeah, in fact, I don't know anyone else in this cast, but apparently they're all very talented and have done other things.
Yeah, I think they're mostly Irish.
Yeah.
And living in Ireland.
Yeah, it's interesting how, I don't know how Will Forte got attached to this, but it's an interesting project.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm not going to go scene by scene for this one. So we'll just kind of talk about the opening. The opening.
Second. Like, let's just say, just so we finish this off proper.
Oh.
Marty, who is my brother and also the executive producer and editor of this show. Hey, Marty. For his birthday month of May, he made a list of 4 films that he wanted us to see. And the trick of it was, is these are movies not only that we had not seen, we never even heard of these films. So, like, no trailer, nothing. We just went into these movies completely blind. Some of these movies literally don't even have a trailer. So, to review, well, we spent the month looking at, let's see, a movie called Other People, a drama with Molly Shannon in an outstanding performance. And then a film noir called Sudden Fear with Joan Crawford and Jack Palance, which was excellent. I think mm-hmm. a real find. And then a film called Dog Pound Shuffle, which I was on board with for about 50 minutes, and then that's it. And you really liked that one. And now we finish it off with this film called Extraordinary, which I'd seen floating around on streaming sites, and it's critically acclaimed, but I'd never gotten around to
it. You've seen it floating around? I see what you did there.
Yeah, it was levitating off the ground.
No, I'd never heard of this film, and it is out on Canopy.
Yeah,
for anybody who's interested in watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be major spoilers, so if you haven't seen it,
proceed with caution.
Yeah, but also maybe listen to our description and then decide if you want to watch it.
Okay. That'll do it.
That'll do it. Well, because what we're going to talk about is wild. Trying to describe this movie is probably going to sound ridiculous.
Yeah, it's going to sound like we're both completely inebriated, and we're not.
No. No. So, all right. The movie opened, and I remember being like, babe, what's wrong with the sound? Because it's like, you know, and you're like, no, it's supposed to be like that. It's a VHS cassette. And it opens
I'm
up.
I'm going, oh, this is the son of my childhood. Yeah, it's a bad VHS tape. Oh, yeah, I'm down. There's lines. There's little crinkly lines. Oh, yeah, you could hear like the white noise. Oh, yes, yes.
And it's a series of tapes that our main character, Rose, that her father recorded. So we're getting to see these like old recordings. And
quasi-professionally produced supernatural videos. Yeah.
Yeah. Where he's talking about ghosts, the after world, the other world.
The afterlife.
Afterlife. Oh my gosh.
The afterworld. You know, there's this world and there's after.
Do ghosts have feelings? Ghosts like us can be lonely. Stuck between worlds, they spend what little energy they have trying to get people's attention.
Ugh, leave me alone.
But try as they might, it's hard for them to make any real impact in our world.
Stop waving at me, Branch.
Generally, most people tend to think ghosts are something to be afraid of. Really, they're all just people. Maybe we can help them to move on. These are stuck people. Lonely people. Ordinary people.
Can I say, I used to work at a video store back in the day, and one of the joys of my young childhood being a cinephile working at Videoland TV, and we did have weirdo movies like this floating around. I think my favorite...
Oh, like the movie that this movie has in
Yeah, it? Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like, yeah, just weird films like Secrets of UFOs and, you know, Secrets of the UFOs did the pyramids. And I think my favorite, it's not a video cassette, but I had it. I still probably still have it in a box somewhere, probably. I had this audio tape that basically gave you solid proof that Elvis was still alive.
Mm.
So like it was like, Elvis is alive and we have proof. And it came down to, I mean, it's the most insane thing. So it's, you listen to this tape, you know, side A, side B, and it's about 30 minutes each. And stories about Elvis, you know, living in a cave with Bubbles the Chimp. And I mean, really insane, you know, why he faked his death and all stuff. But you get to the end of it and it's like, now we bring you photographic proof. So you hear like, hi, welcome to Wendy's. How can I help you? Oh, there. I want a cheeseburger, want some fries and... Kind of a chocolate shake.
An Elvis impersonator is proof.
It was not an impersonator. It was the King Jules.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they had like, of course, to make it even more like authentic, it was scratchy. It was like, yeah, I want a cheeseburger and fries. You're going, wow. It's like, it's authentic because we could barely hear it. Yeah. It was such crap. And I think I spent like $9.99 on it.
You actually bought it?
Oh, yeah. It was at Walden Books.
Oh, wow.
I was really into Elvis at one point in my life. So I was definitely fascinated with the idea, like, you know, like he didn't die. He faked his death and he's still like hiding in a cave, the king of rock and roll, Mr. Vegas, living in a cave. Yeah, I was fascinated by that. I'm not a humongous Elvis fan anymore. I'm not, you know, there's a few songs occasionally you hear me singing in the shower or when I think no one's around, but I mean, I was definitely okay, into that.
We don't
that.
Have to keep talking about your Elvis.
So
years.
Elvis Aaron Presley was born. And...
Okay. Back to the actual movie we're
Sorry.
Discussing.
Yes, Extraordinary. So like, this movie opens up in a way that's very authentic. Like it really feels like, okay, this is what these videos felt like. This is what it was like to watch them. Yeah.
And I was intrigued.
Likewise.
Yeah. Because what is he? He talks about ghosts and that they're found in little things.
Right. It's really cool. It's a great concept, and the movie really should have ran with it a lot more. This idea that it's not so much about poltergeists and these crazy things of chandeliers spinning and, you know, your house pets levitating. No, like hauntings are these little things. It's a pencil rolling by itself. It's a tree branch waving at you. It's these little things that ghosts are capable of. And I thought that's really a charming and whimsical and bizarre kind of idea.
Yeah. I thought it was great. And then we see Rose and her sister at their father's grave. So the man who's in these videos, we find out he's actually dead. And they're at his grave, and Rose is like, I'm really sorry I killed our dad. And so, I don't know, it's just like kind of a quirky thing, and the camera pans up to this magpie and bird, you know, and it kind of just starts off really silly,
mm-hmm.
Quirky more.
Yeah.
And then it says it's based on a true story, which you said was not real because...
Of course not, because you see a garbage truck suddenly swipe across the screen and wipe the words based on a true story. So I'm like, okay, that's the visual indication that it's...
That this is completely made up.
Yes, yeah. This is total bunk. Of course not. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, but I didn't notice that, and I was like, oh, wow. This shows how... naive I am at times.
I mean, look, Jules, I mean, there's so many movies that claim to be based on a true story. I mean, the funniest was, I remember being in a movie theater lobby and a bunch of young teenagers like looking at a poster for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake in 03. And they're going, it's based on a true story. Oh my goodness. It's real. It's real. And I'm like, I'm just standing there going, no, it's not based on a true story at all. There's nothing in it that's true. Not remotely true. It didn't even happen in Texas.
Okay. Okay, so back to Rose Dooley, our main character. She is a driver's ed instructor. She has her own Rose's driving school, and she's driving around with this kid.
She's a former spiritualist. Yeah.
Well, we're getting there.
Oh, so sorry.
Okay. There. So she's driving around, and then she goes home at night after work and, you know, takes off her pants, pulls out a lasagna, like a frozen lasagna, and just like bounces, you know, those exercise balls, mm-hmm. you know, she just like bounces on a ball in her kitchen and listens to her voicemails. And this I thought was so funny because everybody is calling her work line and telling her about these supernatural happenings at their house. And you can tell that she's just like, I don't do this anymore. So yes, she used to like work with her dad and something bad happened and we don't know what it is yet. But finally, Martin leaves a message and says is interested in driving lessons. So it's like, oh, finally, it's like a real customer, you know. And then we meet Martin before his driving class. And he is living in a house with his daughter, his teenage daughter, and his dead wife is haunting the house. And she's kind of a bully ghost.
Yeah. Yeah, like kind of more of an intimate poltergeist. Yeah, it's a funny idea. Because she's haunting him in ways that are, I mean, she's just... She just won't leave him alone.
Yeah.
And she's just very intrusive. And she's always reminding him of things he's forgotten.
Yeah, like she wrote something on the bathroom mirror. And it was like, don't forget to take out the trash.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I do like that. Yeah, it's, you know, again, in the first act, it's an idea that gets set up really nicely. Because it's a funny idea. This is not the first movie to do this. I mean, I think the Topper movies back in the 40s, I think, did this. And there was a terrible
really
film.
Popular movies everyone has seen. The movies from the 40s.
Well, I'm sure your grandma would disagree with that assessment. How dare you? But no, there was a movie that Ava Longoria did called Over My Dead Body. Came out a couple years ago, which is dreadful, dreadful. But it was a romantic triangle between a couple and the dead girl.
Oh, didn't Reese Witherspoon do something like that?
Like, it was Just Like Heaven?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. I mean, it's a bad, I mean, I did a play called Blithe Spirit in college with my dear friend Michelle. And it's that, exactly. You're like, you're haunted by your spouse who won't leave you alone. It's like what you and I always joke about. So like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like, I'm staying with you forever until I die, and then I'm just going to haunt you.
Yeah, I've threatened to haunt you many times over the course of our
long
marriage.
And I've threatened to haunt you.
Yeah, so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's on. Yeah, it's on. It still stands. I'll reach you to the grave.
No, like, we were watching this part of the movie, and I'm like, hey, this is what we said we would do to each other.
Oh, we said this back when we first got married, and we're still saying it.
So that, yeah, it was funny. But the daughter...
I'm still going to haunt you one day. You just watch.
You just watch. The daughter is like, Dad, you need to get rid of her. And either she moves out or I move out, you know. And she's like, I'm going to take care of this if you don't take care of it. And he's like, who are you going to call?
Oh, no.
And she goes, Rose Dooley. Come on. That was funny.
Sure. If you say so.
So she hands him like Rose's business card, and that's how these two characters meet up.
Yeah, and Rose is played by Maeve Higgins, so I really like her performance. I thought she was really good, and Barry Ward's also very good as Martin.
Yeah. Why do you think his name is Martin?
I think it's probably the law of silly names. Comedies do this every once in a while. The funniest is, I think it's, what is it? The Man with Two Brains, Steve Martin's character is Dr. Huffer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's literally how you pronounce his name.
Because he's just like, hello, this is Martin. And you're like, okay.
I mean, there's, I don't know. I've heard those kind of names before, and then you could do a lot worse than Martin.
That's true. Okay, so Martin and Rose meet, and, you know, she takes him for his driving lesson, and she's explaining, you know, all the things. And, of course, he knows how to drive. So she's like, you know, sometimes you just are a really good teacher, and things just flow, and they just work out. And he finally lets it on that he doesn't need a driving instructor.
I like these driving instructor scenes, too, because there's one right before this where she's driving a young man. And he makes a comment, and she thinks that he might be hitting on her, and he kind of like...
Oh, because she's like, so what are you doing tonight? And he's like, oh, I'm engaged. She's like, I'm just making conversation.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's a weird set. It's a weird way to introduce any character that they're a driving instructor. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do like these scenes.
Yeah. So he finally says, like, look, I took my driving test like 14 years ago. I need help with a ghost. And she's like, no, I don't do that anymore. And she ends up not helping him. And then this is where the movie just kind of goes off the rails, is we meet...
Will Forte's character. Yeah. Christian Winter. That's exactly where the film goes off the rails. Yeah.
In my summer house in Berlin, your face like Anne Boleyn, before her beheading, my cosmic sweetheart. Your lips tasted of sin, as did your interplanetary skin. My beauty, my sweet thing, my cosmic woman. And I sing la 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 la.
Like they start off by showing kind of an interview with him on, I don't know, like a hard copy type of show.
Yeah.
And it's like, Christian Winter was this.
He's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah. But he was this great musician, a rock star, and then he had one hit song, and now he moved to Ireland. And he's like, why did you move to Ireland? And he's like, oh, you know, the people and all this. And his wife's like, the tax breaks. And this is where we meet his insufferable wife, who's just like a one note annoying.
That's the problem. I mean, it's one joke. It's one joke that she's just constantly undermining him, that she's
interrupting him,
unimpressed by him, that she's detached from him. It's funny the first scene, but it's all this character has. And there's a lot that could have been done with this particular role. But yeah, she's just, it's dead weight.
Mm-hmm. So we find out that Christian is basically sold his soul to the devil.
Yeah, literally.
Literally. Yeah. And he's got like, he's in this castle, and he has like a pentagram on the ground, and he's doing these rituals. And we, like the beginning, I mean, he has like a floating virgin over this pentagram.
Yeah.
And the wife is just like, oh my gosh, will you just like hurry up with your sacrifice? Can't we just like kill her now? And he's like, no, we have to wait for the blood moon and all this stuff. So he's doing all this stuff so that he can become rich and famous and she can go shopping. It's a very like, oh, this, like it's supposed to be jokey, but it also felt very serious at the same time. So I had very mixed feelings about these scenes.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's tonally, I mean, look, like Will Forte, I think it might be one of the reasons this movie got made. It's one of the reasons people are going to see this film. He's a very, very talented Saturday Night Live veteran. I mean, I love MacGruber as much as anybody, but he's giving this very self-aware, very jokey, very broad, pronounced performance. It's the kind that you would expect from Will Ferrell, except it's not like Elf where he's actually invested in a character. This is like one of those Will Ferrell performances where he's kind of winking at the audience. Well, not kind of. He's winking at the audience. Forte is, I mean, he's so broad in this that I couldn't even get invested in the character. It's like, okay, there's the joy in the performance. That's nice. But because the movie has such an odd tone, I felt like his work completely takes the whole thing out of whack.
Yeah.
Because I'm with you. It's like, what I don't even know how to feel about these scenes. Like, is it supposed to, are we supposed to consider, I mean, is he really a villain? Is he really the villain of the piece? Because he doesn't see, he's not playing it that way. Yeah, I don't know. I do wonder if, I don't know. I don't know if he was misdirected. I don't know if he just had a wrong read on the character. But this character should have had a sense of threat. And the, because Forte is playing it like it's an SNL bit, I'm with you. Like, I don't even know what to make of these scenes.
He should have been scarier.
They should have cast Robert Englund or like a horror film actor. They really should have. Yeah, by casting him, I mean, it's, I'm not going to say he's miscast because, again, I suspect his being in the movie is one of the reasons people are going to see this film, which is a big coup for the filmmakers. But yeah, I'm with you. Cast a scary actor.
Yeah. So the wife ruins his sacrifice and explodes this virgin.
Or cast Mick Jagger. You know, cast somebody that we suspect is this person. You know,
right.
Do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a really big name rock star who probably did sell his soul to the devil.
Cast Paul McCartney. Just kidding. I love Paul McCartney.
Sting.
Yeah. Sting can act too. That's the thing. Again, it's like, as long as it feels like a self-parody. Because it's odd. Like, the idea is that this character that he's playing, he was big in the 70s. He's a one-hit wonder. And Forte is wearing this really garish wig throughout the whole thing. You never get a sense of like who are you trying to be? Mm-hmm. I think it would have been, I really do think, I agree with you. Sting's a great idea because Sting's funny.
Sting is really funny
and he can play himself and he can certainly be self-deprecating. So yeah, I'm loving that idea.
I think that would have been more believable. But anyways, because the wife, his really lame wife, ruins his sacrifice, he's like, no, I have to get another virgin.
The virgin explodes.
Yeah.
Big gory thing. And again, it's like, it's weird too because it's like, oh, it's that kind of a movie? Like, there's going to be like gore in this?
Yeah. And like human sacrifice? Like,
yeah. And seriously, I mean, listeners, look, if you've listened to any of our prior episodes, I love horror movies. I love this genre. But this movie doesn't know what it is. So this, I mean, I'm with you, Jules. I mean, this first scene with Forte, I'm like, oh no.
What is this?
This, I mean, it feels like an intrusion from a different film. It's not that the first scenes are so flawless, but I mean, there is a quirky tone and there is a world building that it's working.
The stuff with Rose and all the other characters.
Yeah, it's working. And it's character driven and it's not like a real showy special effects comedy at first.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. But initially like, there is a low key charm to this movie. And again, like I do love this idea of hauntings being a micro occurrence. And, you know, there's something very low-key and lived in about the way Rose has grown up with this. I like all that stuff. Yeah. But yeah, Will Forte shows up and we're in trouble.
Okay. So he tells his wife, like, where am I going to find a virgin by tomorrow? And so he gets this like creepy
phallic stick.
Yeah.
And
so he's like, the stick will like point to a virgin and then that's, I'll just do another, you know.
So yeah, like whatever. we get all this nice gentle stuff, and then we get the gore, and we get penis jokes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's crazy.
What is going on with this movie?
It's a little whiplash because every time it went back to Rose, I was like, oh, thank God! Like this, I can.
Well, it's like we're out of the Jack Black portion of this movie. Yeah, it's too much.
But like the funny part there, this with the stick, the funny thing is he starts doing it inside the house where he like takes the stick, drops it, and then he goes and picks it up and he's...
The stick is like leading him to a virgin,
right. And
allegedly.
The wife is like, don't you think you should like start that when you get in town? And he's like, oh yeah, that'd be a good idea. So... Anyways, he's in town and
there's this really droll scene of him just walking in a field letting the stick. I don't know. Look, if you're gonna go with it's a penis joke, go with it. Have the stick talk. Like do more than just like, haha, look how funny this stick is.
Yeah. So the stick points to this bookstore And the girl in the bookstore is Martin Martin's daughter.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is how all these characters connected. Mm-hmm. And so Martin frantically calls Rose that same night because now his daughter is levitating unconscious over her bed.
Yeah, it's something, of course, you would not catch because you've never seen The Exorcist. But there's all these Exorcist jokes. In fact, there's a moment where Rose is standing outside the house. There's a light coming out of the window. It's obviously, you know, meant callbacks to be a very famous callback to the iconic poster of The Exorcist. There's lines that reference The Exorcist. I mean, it's, you know, it's very, it's not subtle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never seen it. So, all right. So now we're in Act Two and Rose goes into the house and now she's like meeting the ghost wife kind of.
Yeah.
Because she's seeing what's going on. And then she sees the daughter and she's like, okay, I know exactly what this is. She plays him a video, like one of her dad's video. Mm-hmm. And she's like,
and she brought the video cassette TV combo with her, which is a funny visual. Oh, yeah. She carried, because of course he doesn't have a video cassette player.
Yeah. Oh, that's why she brought it. I forgot.
Oh, you didn't realize that? Yeah. I like that. At that point, I'm like, okay, the movie's getting back on track. That's a fun idea that she has to carry.
Sounds
this.
Like something you would do.
That's exactly what I would do.
You're like, I have a VHS collection, therefore I have to carry this.
You're kidding? If I'm like, hey, it's bingo night, I'm bringing my video cassette TV combo.
I don't know. So the rules in this world are that Rose has to. Okay, they need like the ectoplasm of 7 ghosts. And then they have to smear it all over this girl's face, which just seems just so disgusting. Well,
even worse is how you get the ectoplasm. Because as someone who grew up on Ghostbusters, I was always, the idea of ectoplasm, it's just this goo, this residue, this slime that the ghosts leave after they exit a scene. According to this movie, you have to be possessed and then you vomit the ectoplasm.
Yeah, and so once the possessed person vomits, they become themselves again, and then the ectoplasm is just the remains.
So it's established as a wooden carton with all these little spaces, and in the spaces are where the jars of ectoplasm are going. And it's this little montage establishing, okay, we've got one scene where Martin vomits, and disgustingly vomits into this jar. And then I was like, okay, there's 6 more of these scenes to go.
And we have to watch
all of them. All 6 of these scenes. And I go, shoot, like the tone of the Will Forte scenes are back because this is gross. This is just disgusting. It's not that funny.
Yeah, I felt bad for this actor. Because, I mean, what I will say about this actor is that
he vomits well.
No, he does vomit well, but he had to become all of these people that like possessing him. Yeah. And I thought
he did all right. Yeah.
He did a good job.
Sure.
Because that's probably not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
So he had to be all these different people. Anyways, but the joke is that he, you know, because he's like, well, where are we going to find all these ghosts? And she's like, well, there's one in your house. And he doesn't want to get rid of his wife.
Yeah.
Who we find out has been haunting him for 8 years.
Yeah.
8 years of this nonsense where she like throws his donuts away.
That's great. Yeah. It's a great visual.
She like hits him in the head with cabinets. I mean, she's ruthless.
I'm suddenly remembering this sitcom that lasted a season with Eric Idle called Dearly Departed, where Eric Idle and his wife are ghosts haunting a couple. So it was a lot of those kinds of gags. Just like, you know, it's 2 actors and the other actors can't see them. So it's all those kind of gags of like, you know, they're talking about them in front of them. Not a great show at all. But again, very similar to this idea. But that's a funny idea. Especially, I mean, you know, to think about it too, of like, there's some people that have been married for so long, it's already like they're being haunted by their spouse. I'm not speaking from experience.
I certainly feel that way. No, just kidding.
Well, hey, we'll see who haunts who first, okay?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's on. But no, like, it is a fun idea because it's one thing. I mean, obviously, it's one thing to do like a domestic drama. It's another thing to do a movie about where one of your, like, the person is gone, but they've never been more present. And so this poor guy is constantly living with, I guess, the word cuckold. His wife is cuckolding him.
Yeah.
Do people ever use that word anymore?
I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably people from the 50s.
People listening to the, hot damn, he said cuckold.
Oh, so part of this movie, Rose is very she doesn't want to get back into this work.
Yeah.
And we find out why. And they show her as a young girl that she was doing all of this stuff that she's now doing with Martin with her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And the dad would get possessed by the ghost, and then she would say the words and unpossess him or whatever. And so the scene where he dies, he's meeting this woman, has like a dog that's is now in a puddle, but it's like also a portal.
A portal, puddle, sinkhole.
Yeah. And so the dog is like, you can't see the dog. You
basically see this leash that's down. It's a fun visual.
And so he becomes possessed by the dog and the puddle.
Yeah.
Or the portal. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it becomes very strange. And then she doesn't say the right words. And he kind of loses his balance, and then he gets hit by a big bus.
Yeah.
And that's how he dies. So she is living with all this guilt, and that's why she tells Martin, like, hey, if we're going to be partners, like, you could die. Like, I could accidentally kill you.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I have to save my daughter, so we're doing this. So that's kind of, you know, their character arc.
Yes.
But then the Will Forte character... So what's supposed to happen is once he puts the spell on the virgin, her body is just supposed to like float to his castle.
Yeah.
Like, this is so strange. What? So there's just going to be these like levitating floating bodies going down the street and nobody's going to blink twice?
Well, there are scenes in this movie of this body just kind of floating around, which is admittedly novel.
Mm-hmm.
Very different.
Yeah, very different. But... Rose puts like a holding spell on her so that she won't do it. And so he finds out, he's like, ooh, a holding spell. So he decides to book like a driving class with her to get her hair. 'Cause this is how he does his like incantations or whatever. Again, it's so weird. And really dark. It's like supposed to be funny, but
yeah, agreed. It has like this light, quirky tone, but it's kind of undercut by these moments of gore and mean spiritedness.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess we can fast forward because the girl, the holding spell vanishes, and she starts floating down the highway.
Yeah,
and Will and his wife are just like in their car, like following her as she's going 1 mile an hour.
Right.
And then Rose is behind. I mean, so it's just really silly.
Yeah.
And they finally grab the girl and just like start speeding towards the castle while she's outside of the car, just like, unconscious. Yeah.
Yeah. In a trance.
Yeah, in a trance. So I don't know. Before we get to the third act, is there anything...
No, let's go right to the third act.
Okay. So they get the girl into their castle, Martin's daughter. And, I didn't even mention that, like, Rose's sister, her, like, pregnant sister and the boyfriend are also on this...
Yeah.
On this trip with them for some reason. And so everyone's going into the castle and the girl is, like... hovering over this pentagram. And okay, so the wife orders like Chinese food. It's so she's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, long story short, the sacrifice isn't working because we find out that Martin's daughter isn't really a virgin.
And as I told you, like, this is a joke out of the Monster Squad. Like, that's one of the funniest jokes of Monster Squad where, they pick it's a ritual that needs to happen. They find a virgin and basically the moment comes where like, huh, the spell isn't working. And they turn to the young teen girl that they, summon. And she says something effective like, well, Ted doesn't count, And that's really funny, but that was in 1987. So it's like, man, this movie has the gall to steal a joke from the Monster Squad.
Well, what happened is it's not the exact same joke.
It's a very graphic sex joke.
She's finally awake, and they're like, "You're not a virgin," and she's just like, ugh. "So." What the funny part about that is that the phallic stick. that was pointing to the bookstore she was working at, Rose was in that bookstore at the same time. So it was really pointing at Rose.
Yeah.
But of course, he didn't even notice Rose. And so everyone's like, wait, you're a virgin? And she's like, no, I'm not a virgin. But okay, but before that happened, a portal opens up where the pentagram was, and we see just like this ghost.
CGI ghost.
Yeah, CGI ghost thing come out, and he's like, okay, I'm ready for my sacrifice.
The CGI ghost would be a great special effect for 2004.
Yeah, but for a budget this small.
Or maybe a mid-range video game. Come on, this is like a special effect out of like Van Helsing. Like it's not, I can't be.
I feel like every other special effect was great in this movie.
Because it's simple and invisible. This is a CGI effect, and it just, maybe it was intentional to look cheesy, but like, I don't know. I couldn't, I don't like it.
Okay. So the ghost, they're like, Rose, are you a virgin? And she's like, no, what about so-and-so? And the ghost is like, makes a sex joke. Like, you didn't actually really have sex with that guy, you know? So, okay. This is, again, this part is crazy. So now Rose is being like pulled into the portal to be sacrificed.
Yeah.
And she tells Martin, like,
to have sex with her.
Right.
Because that will save her.
Yes, because that will save her. And I'm just like, what?
You know, there's, I mean, Ghostbusters had sex jokes in it too, and not every one of those worked, but I think that movie, again, it's like, it's all about tone. This movie, I felt really embarrassed for the movie at this point.
Yeah, just...
The Will Forte stuff is bombing. The sex jokes are obvious. The CGI is obvious. At this point, I couldn't wait for it to be over.
Yeah, while this part's going on, I was like, this is really went off the rails for me.
Yes.
Because right before that, Will Forte's character slits his wife's throat in a pretty graphic...
Again, this movie is gory and mean-spirited, and it feels completely at odds with the kind of tone that they're carefully establishing. Because there are these repeated shots of Rose driving down the street, and she's acknowledging these micro hauntings. And, and they're kind of like, the ghosts are kind of in their way, giving her like a thumbs up, you know, by...
Like, hi, we're here.
By shaking a tree leaf. The stuff of Will Forte, it is like a completely different film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when he just like nonchalantly goes over and like kills his wife.
It's graphic and gross. Yeah. It's like, but for one thing, I mean, the character is so hateful. The movie feels hateful for giving her a death scene that graphic, but also it's completely unmerited. But then again, the character is so one joke that I didn't even feel anything for her death.
Right.
It's a real problem.
Right.
You know, this is a film, this whole movie feels like a first draft. Mm. Even as you mentioned, like the sister, I love the sister character. She was great. And I love her scenes with Rose. But overall, like those scenes need to be fleshed out, or they needed to come up with something better for that character to do.
So the only time I had some like, oh no, are they going to go there, was like the sister is going into labor, like as all this is happening. And I'm like, oh my gosh, are they going to like kill this baby? Like, I'm really glad they didn't go that far. But yeah, Rose and Martin, like on top of each other, trying to like save her from the
hell. Yeah, have a quickie in order to
the save hell her portal from, was crazy. It does save her, and then Will Ferrell ends up going into the portal.
Will Ferrell, huh?
Oh. Sorry.
Our apologies to Will Ferrell. No, I've been saying Will Ferrell a lot. No, it's okay. Yeah, Will Forte. Yeah. His character not only leaves, but yuck, yuck, his wig comes off and we see him bald before he dies.
Yeah, exactly. As if that even matters because he's such a terrible person. Yeah,
like, I mean, there are ways to do this. I mean, remember like the moment in Polar Express where it turns out Tom Hanks' character has been bald the whole time. Ah, but like this is it's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then to the ghost and the singer, they're in the portal, the hole closes up, and yay, everyone's saved. And so you kind of think, I thought that Rose and Martin were going to, you know, get together.
Mm-hmm.
What they end up doing is starting their own like supernatural, like she goes back into business with him and doing what her and her dad did. And there's a funny...
It's where the title comes from.
Yeah. So they do, you know, she pulls up in her little car and instead of saying Rose is driving school, it says extraordinary, you know, supernatural, whatever. And he's like, you know, extraordinary is one word, right? So that's where they get it. And then he proposes to her and she just says no.
Yeah.
And then credits.
Yep.
So I was like, oh, wow. Okay. That's it.
I guess that would be funny in a normal film where we, you know, where the tone was better established, where we were more, a little more invested in these characters. Because these characters, I think, are the part of the film that works. But mm-hmm. because they're surrounded by so much stuff that doesn't work, I found all my goodwill from the first act completely displaced by the third act.
Yeah.
I think this is the kind of film that Edgar Wright should have made. Because Edgar Wright is a master of balancing tone. I mean, Edgar Wright, certainly with his TV show Space and then on to, you know, Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead. He's someone who loves genre films but also can do character comedy. And, you know, his movies can be a total throwback to these kinds of films but also something where you're invested in the reality of the characters at the same time. And this movie, I feel like the tone is never properly established. I feel like the script's just... There's so many comic dead ends, or there's just too many like one note jokes that keep coming back again and again and again. For all this stuff, I mean, it's like even the video cassette thing, they keep returning to the video cassette motif of watching the old videos. I mean, it's great, but I mean, it doesn't surprise you the way it should.
Mm. Even though we find out that the magpie was really Rose's dad, and he finally gets to like talk to her. And like make peace. And then Martin throws up his ectoplasm and he gets to move on to the other world. But even that was like, oh, okay. Well, you got to say goodbye to your dad.
There's just so much stuff here that just doesn't connect. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you know, the Rotten Tomatoes would disagree with us.
Completely. I mean,
it has a 98%. For Tomato Meter and a 77% audience score.
I mean, we could talk about that for a second. For one thing, I mean, I like Rotten Tomatoes. I'm on Rotten Tomatoes. I've always appreciated them. I mean, with movie critics, it's always the same thing. And I speak about this from experience, but also as someone who loves film criticism, it's always this thing where, you know, one week your readers, to speak it from my perspective, your readers love you because like, oh, you love this film and you're telling us to see this film. Oh, that's awesome. And the next week it's like, you didn't like this new Marvel movie? You suck. You suck. And the next week, oh, we love you, Gwen. Like movie critics, they tend to, depends on the week. Mm-hmm. You know, it depends on like, you know, how much they agree with you is really how much they like you. So it's always funny, like, you know, no one ever questions a Rotten Tomatoes score when it's like, you know, just unabashed love. But if it's a movie that people love, that the critics are like, this is not that good, that tends to be where, you know.
Yeah, but this is all positive.
Well, in this case, like, I have an idea about it. I mean, what tends to happen, this is one of those movies that played at a lot of film festivals. So a lot of the critics, respectfully, because, I mean, I've done it too, where, you know, you watch these midnight screenings at these horror genre festivals, and you're reporting, basically, you know, you're not seeing it in a commercial theater. You're seeing it midnight where the filmmakers are there. People are cheering and clapping the whole time. So you do get the euphoria of like, wow, this movie. And then you see it, you know, like a month later and like, oh, that wasn't that great. But it was just great because, you know, the filmmaker was there. And
the experience was great.
People were cheering. It was midnight. It was the right time to see it because, you know, our senses were dull. I mean... my dear friend Dave Minkus, who has the Screen Geeks website, we've spoken many times about what it was like. We saw this film. I promise I won't be too long-winded about it. We saw this film at a film festival called Chillerama. It is dreadful bad. Chillerama is terrible. And the audience was constantly applauding and cheering and, yeah, high-fiving each other. It was a midnight screening, and the director was in the audience. And look, like, on the one hand, like, I don't diminish that because obviously I want people to have a good time when they go to a movie. I want people to enjoy the film. But let's face it. I mean, it's like, you know, of course you're going to, how to put it? Like, I mean, of course you're going, you know, if you're in the presence of the filmmaker and all that.
There is something about the energy of an audience.
Yeah, that's it.
That can make you think something's
laugh.
Better than it is.
They want to laugh.
Especially
exactly.
when you're around people that are laughing. Like, I should laugh.
They want exactly. They want to love it. They want to have that experience. So it's like they're, you know, it's like it is almost this thing of like you love the movie for what you want it to be as opposed to what it is. The other example I can think of, my dear friend Josh Green. I went to see this movie with him called Repo: The Genetic Opera. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. It's so terrible. It's a musical with Paris Hilton. That's all you need to know. And the film, the director was in the audience. One of the actors was in the audience. And they got everybody all worked up before the movie started. And, you know, half the people in the audience had already seen the movie twice. So they were able to sing along with those awful songs. And then the director got up on stage afterwards. And, you know, and the thing is, like, I've been to these experiences. I've had those kinds of experiences where the movies themselves were really great. So I know what it's like to be on the other side of that. Like, oh, man, like the first time I saw Red State, Kevin Smith was there. And it was this amazing experience. So I know what that's like to be caught up in the wave of like, oh, it's so exciting. Like this is a happening.
Okay, but this is what you think happened with this movie?
I think what happened is, I think a lot of critics, I think a lot of the early reviews that really made the tomato meter, so to speak, well, not so to speak, that's what it is. I think a lot of these rave reviews came from these situations. And then by the time the movie had a very limited release, the reviews, you know, if you look at them, most of them are pretty good. They're not rave reviews. It's like 3 stars, 2.5 stars, 3 stars. I was just looking through. I'm like, yeah, this is not like a wildly acclaimed movie. This isn't like The English Patient. I mean, it's extraordinary.
English Patient.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, I agree with you, 98%. And it's because it's a liked film. And I think the fact that it's so different, it
yes.
gives it a lot of points because it is a strange film and sometimes that works for
okay,
it.
Okay, do you think, and I don't know if this is true, but I was telling a friend about this movie and she's like, I don't know, maybe it's just an Irish sense of humor. You know, like it was made in Ireland and maybe just the people over there find that kind of stuff funnier.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a really great point. Really great point. I mean, because I don't know. I mean, I've seen movies that like it's a Canadian film, and I'm like, yeah, but Canadians are funny, you know. And I've seen Irish comedies that were much funnier than this. I mean, you know, and
or she said, I think they have a darker sense of humor, which I don't know if that's true. Maybe that's a total stereotype. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I can only vouch for the Irish films and filmmakers I've seen, and I've seen some great Irish comedies. This is not one of them.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So I thought it had a promising start.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a disappointing ending because I was just like, wow, this really went to a surprising place.
Yeah, it was frustrating to watch with you because we both went into this totally blind, which is always exciting. And, you know, and we saved this last because it's like, well, it's a Will Forte comedy. So, you know, we'll give it a shot. And that didn't, you know, and that didn't even, it's not like, well, I didn't think this was going to be like MacGruber. I mean, I figured like this will be fun because it's a contemporary film. And yeah, I'm with you. I've sat with you and I just thought like, I was kind of leaning forward like, oh, this is different. This is cool. And then after a while, I'm just like, I can't wait for this to be over because this is really bad. Really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, I mean, I wish everybody well, you know, the thing is like, I know some film critics are out for blood. I'm not. I mean, you know, clearly talented people worked on this. Talented people are in this film. The film was written and directed by Mike Ahern and Enda Lohman. It's an ambitious film. It's their first film. There's good stuff. Again, Maeve? Maeve Higgins in the lead is very good. There's good stuff in this film. And like, to a degree, I understand why it has a cult following, because it's strange.
It is strange.
And strange is good. I mean, I'm always looking for movies that show me something I've never seen before.
Oh, we definitely saw that.
There's a degree to that. But, you know, even like, again, like the setup has these brilliant ideas because, you know, we've seen too many movies where ghosts are these invisible beings. They are, you know, an unwanted force. It tends to be very threatening and scary. And in this film,
and all the ghosts, this movie, they just wanted to tell their significant other things like, hey, put the recycling in the right bin. And then once they tell them, they're like, okay, I can leave in peace now.
Like, I welcome that because the idea of even like, you know, a ghost being represented by like a single white sheet is a very old idea. But in this film, like, there's an interesting montage where she's driving down the street and like CGI sheets go over the individuals who are not really there. They're the ghosts that she's seeing. I mean, there's a film I really liked a lot. The David Lowery film called A Ghost Story with Casey Affleck and Rooney Mara. I liked that film so much because it took on the idea of ghosts in a very serious way. And it, everything about it, just like it felt like a completely new experience. And there's bits of that in this, but there's also a lot of stuff that I just don't think it works.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So star and a half for me.
Yeah, same. Yeah. And maybe Sting should be in their next film if they ever do another one like this.
Well, I think cinema needs more of Sting in general. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I've always liked him, not just from Dune. I mean, he's done a lot of stuff where I'm like, oh, he can act. He's good.
I like it when he plays roles where he makes fun of himself.
Yeah, and he's very good at that. I mean, being self-deprecating goes a long way with me, especially if you're a musician who's that accomplished. Because, I mean, like, I love Mick Jagger, but come on, the guy knows he's a rock god.
Maybe Bono could have done this role.
That's another, you know, he's Irish.
Yeah.
But I don't think Bono would do it.
No.
I don't, you know, and I love Bono, love you too. I don't think he has enough of a sense of humor about himself.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't think he would find it funny that they wanted to play an evil version of himself and that his talent and success came because he made a deal with the devil. No, I don't think Bono or The Edge or Clay and Mullins would find that funny. So, but I think Sting would find that hilarious. I love your idea.
Okay. Any final thoughts?
No.
Okay. Well,
thank you, Marty. This was fun. This is a fun experiment. We'll go back to, you know, we'll go back to, you know, our usual regularly scheduled program. But yeah, this was fun.
No, I mean, I like the idea of you and I watching movies that you've never seen before because it's fun to talk to you about something you haven't formed 20 years of thoughts on already.
Well, you know, obviously I see so many films and I write about everything. So that's how I, for the most part, I'm able to remember everything. But it's, you know, this is, I mean, really, you know, hey, happy birthday, Marty. Happy birthday. And one of the things that my brother, my dear brother, has always done is he's always been able to find these films I've never heard of. And they're really wonderful. One of my favorite examples is I was visiting him in Hollywood when he was making his movie and he introduced me to this movie called Bone. I'm like, what is Bone? I've never heard of Bone. And it had Yaphet Kotto on the cover. The cover was like green. I'm like, what is this? I don't even want to watch this. And I watched it with him and I'm like, geez, this is a masterpiece. And a year later, less than that, I showed it to my film class, my independent underground film class. And a number of my students came up to me afterwards like, where did you find this? This thing is incredible. I'm like, my brother found this movie. I never even heard of this thing. So yeah, Marty has a real gift for finding these diamonds. Not this movie, but I welcome this experiment. If this becomes an annual thing that we do, then hey, I'm all for that.
Cause, I think we should.
It's fun. It's fun. It definitely, you know, it keeps me sharp. I mean, I don't become a, you know, I've not become a good writer because I write about all the stuff I'm familiar with. I write it because of films like this and films that are, you know, are new experiences. Mm-hmm. And I want to have new experiences when I see movies. So it's fun to see something that I have no reference for. And I mean, you know me, I mean, I never watch trailers for the most part. I'll watch a teaser trailer, but I avoid trailers because I don't want to know the chronology of a story going in, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, even as we record this, you know, the new Top Gun's coming out. I don't know what the story is.
Ooh, I watched the trailers.
Oh, did you? Oh, you stinker. Yeah, I don't even know what the story is. I just know Cruise is in it.
Well, I don't know what the story is.
Okay.
I don't think the trailer, I don't remember what it said, but I'm
I mean, I think it's probably, it. I mean, we could probably guess that it's probably going to be exactly like the first one, but still, like, no, I love going into a film as blind as possible. Those have always been the best experiences, the movies where I didn't know what it was going to be and it just took me somewhere. So there's, you know, there are moments in Extraordinary that are that, but they come early.
Yeah.
Too early. Do. Yeah.
So if you want to see Extraordinary, you can find it on Canopy with a K. And
if you're an adventurous film goer and you're a Will, not Will Ferrell, but a Will Forte completist, see Extraordinary.
Exactly. Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Yes. Good night, everyone.